Welcome back to Project Independence on You. We've been talking with our special guest this morning, Dr. Melanie Austin McCain, and we've been having a very, very interesting conversation with lots of loose ends to still talk about. You said something, Ruth, that I always believe, and that is about being engaged in what you do. And I think that can be relative to your purpose in life. You know, how engaged are you in what you're doing? Are you really involved? Are you sort of like just drifting through?
Yes.
And I believe that I don't know how you get people to be engaged.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes you either are or you aren't. Any tips on that?
Well, you know, I like to first think about being engaged as participation in life. And when you think about participation in life, you have to remember yourself as a human being who's engaging in your daily activities. But when you're really fully participating, what sense of meaning does it give you? Are you in the flow, so to say, when you're engaging in your activities? Yes, we know that most activities have to be done. So these are things we must do to get through our daily activities. But really think about participating in your daily activities. Some of the things that we do throughout our day are normal day-to-day activities, but we can actually incorporate a little more joy and meaning in these daily activities. For instance, maybe our bathing routine. How about making that an activity where you're participating more and you're a little more present with that particular daily routine? Really thinking about the type of products you're using, maybe how important it is and how wonderful it is to have water and to be able to
do these daily activities.
True.
In other words, be grateful for
everything.
Grateful, yes.
You know,
that's
fully participating in life.
An interesting thing this morning, which thinking about this show, about mindfulness, all right? I woke up, I looked out, that was a good thing to start with, but I woke up, I looked out the window, and there were these two squirrels on the front lawn, and the squirrels were like digging down into the ground, and I couldn't figure out what they were doing, but I spent about 5 minutes watching these two squirrels, and I said, now that's mindfulness.
That's definitely,
you know,
mindfulness.
I was focused on what they were doing. Other times I could look out there and never even see the squirrels.
Absolutely.
You know, it was like, I said, you know, that's trite, but fact. But then I ran out of time. I wanted to watch where they were going. You know, it was like an adventure. It was like my own National Geographic show.
Absolutely. You know? That's definitely being present.
Yeah. I would like to point out a few things about you, all right, that you have a extremely interesting, diverse background with lots of accomplishments. And you were a former track and field athlete and also an NCAA All-American, which is something that not too many people on this planet accomplish.
No, nobody I know.
Accomplish.
Nobody I know.
And you were inducted into, right down the road here, NYIT's Athletic Hall of Fame. So you went through life probably from a younger age when you got interested in track, getting some good recognition, and it gave you something to be engaged in. But then all of a sudden one day, Melanie wasn't running track anymore. Or if you were, you weren't running it for gold medals or whatever. There's an area there where you would now, your purpose in life shifted. How did you contend with that?
Yeah, that, you know, that was a transition for me. However, I grew up in Brooklyn, in the inner city, and as a single parent, always ran track. I ran track in high school. I grew up running track in the community. NYIT gave me a second chance of a lifetime as a single parent, a full track and field scholarship. And I utilized that scholarship to not only run track, but to study occupational therapy. Occupational therapy taught me so much about working with the whole person. And I decided that once I graduated from NYIT, I would go back into the community to really help youth and individuals to improve their quality of life as well. And with the support of NYIT, I started a program called Teens on the Right Track. And that program was to help youth in the city to improve their own life skills and to learn some of the things that could be helpful for them so that they can have a greater quality of life and future. So I feel like track and field was really a gift to me. It was definitely my purpose and my passion in life. And with NYIT support, really enabled me to go back and to serve the community. So I'm really, really grateful for that.
Yeah, I think that's great because I have a theory of life that I try to go by, and that is I try to judge people by their entry level in life. Nobody guarantees where I was going to start or who I was going to be or where I was going to be. I could have been in a shack somewhere, born in Africa. I could have been born anywhere. Who the heck knows where, right? So I think it's the purpose of life and how you measure what people accomplished has an awful lot to do with trying to compare it where they started.
Yes.
And what are they like? You know, what kind of people are they?
Absolutely.
And what you're doing, to me, is you're helping somebody who maybe didn't have as good an entry level to be able to get into the right path and have a purpose of life. And I think that's great.
Thank you.
That's very admirable, really, truly admirable. And can you tell us some of your suggestions for, in general, for finding a purpose in life? I know that you have 6 or 7 steps, so could you mention them?
Yes, absolutely. I believe once you've assessed your daily routine and you're really interested in going and looking at some of the things that you're doing throughout your day, there's some key strategies you can utilize to help you to have more purposeful daily living. The first one is meditation. We all have a different way that we may choose to meditate. For some people, it may be prayer. For some people, it may be a mantra or breathing exercises. But utilizing this meditation as an opportunity for being still so that you can hear your thoughts and really think about your feelings and also to visualize. I like to think about opportunities for meditations as an opportunity for you to set your daily intentions. So you can actually wake up in the morning and say, "Thank you. I'm glad I'm up this morning, and it's going to be a wonderful day." And so you're actually setting your daily intentions.
That's a wonderful motto, really, truly. When you meditate, must you set aside a certain amount of time, like 30 minutes, or can it be just 1 or 2 minutes?
It could be just 1 or 2 minutes. Actually, I believe it's different for everyone. It could actually be a couple of seconds. It's really different for everyone how you choose to meditate. So I think it's going to vary depending on your lifestyle and how you actually carry out your routine.
And what about some of the other strategies?
Yeah. Some of the other strategies are movement. Movement is actually one of my number two strategy. And when you think about movement, normally we think about, let's exercise. However, you want to think about movement as a mind and a body routine, okay? So it's really important to keep moving, to be productive, to push yourself, to kind of stretch your mind and your body. And so to utilize activities for learning, to utilize movement, to utilize play, to utilize different things in your daily routine to help you to be productive, which is moving.
And I'm sorry.
Yeah, go ahead.
That's okay. What about adopting, especially for an older person, because our audience is generally older, a future is mine. The idea that the future is yours.
Absolutely.
That's a wonderful thing, especially as you're older.
Absolutely. That's a great mind exercise. The future is yours. And you can actually develop your future the way you want it to. Be carried out.
Well, and I think as you get older, you have to look upon a future in a little bit of a different way. I mean, you're not going to have 80 years ahead of you.
Maybe yes.
And, well.
You can think about, well.
I don't know what I'll
today.
Be like when, in 80 years. You know, point being.
Right.
You know, you have to adapt to the fact that, yes, your future is different.
Right.
But
absolutely.
There is a future.
Mm-hmm.
And there is a purpose for you to be here.
Absolutely.
Which can be just to help somebody or make a phone call to help people or whatever.
We always have an opportunity to make new changes in our life.
And I think being grateful for people who support you and for the whatever day you don't have pain is a wonderful thing. I think being grateful is being thankful helps you to enjoy it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Gratefulness is really very important and can also help to improve your health because it changes your thinking from a negative way of thinking to really being more optimistic and positive about things that...
I mean, attitude. You know, what goes on between these ears is
Absolutely.
You know, that's what.
Absolutely.
That's what it's all about.
That's true. It's really true. And I want to mention that you have received some other honors and awards besides athletic. And I'm particularly impressed that in 2012, you were chosen as the Clinical Educator of the Year from New York State, New York Institute of Technology. I'm a former teacher, and I love teaching. And I think that's very impressive that you received that award.
Thank you. Thank you. As an occupational therapist, as a healthcare provider, we do our best to give back to our profession and to educate upcoming and current occupational therapy students. And so one of the things that I do is I supervise and educate occupational therapy students who are in occupational therapy programs throughout New York and New Jersey. And this gives an opportunity for us to bridge the gap between the academic setting and the clinical world so that students really get hands-on practical learning. So this was a wonderful, wonderful opportunity, and I'm really grateful to NYIT for choosing me for that award.
Well, I'm sure you deserved it.
Thank you.
But you were also, you received the Outstanding Alumni Award from the New York Institute of Technology's Department of Occupational Therapy. That must have been thrilling to you.
Yeah, this was really thrilling to me because as a former student athlete in the occupational therapy program at NYIT, I had to really maintain a vigorous schedule. And after graduating, you know, I really stayed connected with the school, but also really utilized my learning to give back to the community.
Melanie, I'm just getting the high sign from our very competent engineer here, Victoria, and we're going to be running out of time. So we would love to have you come back sometime. And we really appreciate you being here. We have great respect for you, what you do, and I believe you've given us some very, very valuable information, and that's what we could tell you.
And
thank
taught
you
us
for
some
being
life
here.
Lessons.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me, Otto and Ruth. It's been a pleasure.